Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Including this evening, there are three Wednesdays left in the Advent season. And it so happens that there are three parts of the Lord's Prayer left for us to consider: the sixth and the seventh petitions, and the Amen at the end. So let's turn our attention this evening to that sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer: Our Father, lead us not into temptation. Luther explains in the Catechism, what does this mean? God surely tempts no one, but we ask in this prayer that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us nor mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And although we are troubled by these things, that we would nevertheless overcome and stand victorious in the end. Now, what is temptation? In Scripture, there is a single Greek word that is sometimes translated temptation, sometimes translated trial, and sometimes translated testing. It's all the same word in Greek. It depends on the context how it's translated. For example, Scripture says that God does test people, as He tested the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness for those 40 years. But Scripture just as clearly says that God does not tempt anyone. It's the same word in Greek again, but in English it's helpful that we have two different translations for that. Now, to test someone is to put him through some kind of hardship in order to see what comes out on the other side. Not entirely unlike a test at school. More than once, the Bible gives us the analogy of a lump of gold ore that is put through the fire and heat until the heat and the fire burn off all the impurities from that ore, and the gold comes out unscathed and purified. That's testing. And a trial is just a time or an instance of testing. So God does test or try people, and the purpose of that testing is never to harm, but only to help, to teach, to discipline. Although, as the writer to the Hebrews rightly points out, discipline is never pleasant at the time, but painful. But discipline is for the good of the one being disciplined. God's testing is never meant to drive someone away from Him, but always to drive them closer to Him, to depend on Him more and more for help. So God tested Abraham when He told Abraham to take his beloved son Isaac and go and sacrifice him on an altar by killing him. God's purpose was to put Abraham through that trial, through that hardship, so that not God, but we could see in the end the purity of Abraham's faith, and Isaac's faith for that matter. As we know, it was never God's intention for Abraham or Isaac to be harmed, but to be stronger in the end, to become examples of faith, and even to be praised by future generations for their devotion to God above all things, which could only be shown through that trial or test. God tests believers, but God tempts no one. As James writes in his epistle, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Temptation is the attempt to get someone to sin against God. The devil tempts us. The world tempts us. Our own sinful flesh tempts us. These enemies afflict us with some hardship, or they entice us with some promised benefit held out in front of us like a carrot on a stick in front of a horse, with the intention of getting us to disobey God, to curse God, to give up on Him, to turn away from Him. They use deception as their primary tool. Think of the temptation of Eve in the Garden of Eden. The devil deceived her, tricked her, told her things that were either only partially true or completely false. He held up a fake hardship in front of her eyes as if she and Adam were lacking some good thing by not being able to eat from that one tree in the garden. The devil's intention was obvious, to get her to disbelieve God's word and to disobey God. These enemies of ours, the devil, the world, and our flesh, also attempt to lead us into false belief, either believing something about God that isn't true, or even believing something about our neighbor that isn't true. And you know how dangerous that is, to believe something, to cling to something, to lean on something that's false, that's not true. To try to rely on something that's unreliable doesn't end well. To lean on something that won't support your weight does not end well. Our enemies also attempt to lead us into despair. The devil would gladly deceive us so that we despair, so that we lose hope in God, lose hope in God's forgiveness. Lose hope in His good and gracious will for us. Lose hope in His mercy. And then there's the great shame and vice to which temptation leads. All the filthy sins of the flesh, idolatry, blasphemy, lawlessness, murder, adultery, and all sexual sins, theft, drunkenness, drug abuse, and the list goes on and on. Those things are great shame and vice. They're things toward which the devil would lead us with his temptations, and the world and our flesh are his willing allies. We're so weak in the face of these temptations, and our enemies are so strong, but we have a Savior who is stronger. As it says in Hebrews, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so we pray the sixth petition. Our Father, lead us not into temptation. Spare us, deliver us, have mercy on us. Don't punish us on account of our sins by allowing our enemies to be successful in their temptations. But when you pray, lead us not into temptation, be sure you don't mean the wrong thing by it. Don't ask God not to test you. He must test you for your good. And don't ask Him not to allow you to face hardships or to spare you from all earthly troubles or to keep the devil, the world, and the flesh from tempting you at all. As the Apostle Paul said, after being nearly stoned to death, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, And so it must come true. In this world, you will have tribulation, trouble. What's more, St. Peter says this about the devil: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. No, the devil and his temptations are not going away until Christ's second advent. He will tempt you to sin against God, and you will face troubles and crosses and testings and temptations throughout your earthly life. But we pray in the sixth petition that although we are troubled by these things, that we would nevertheless overcome and stand victorious in the end. That's what we're praying for in the sixth petition: for God's help to resist the devil, to resist temptation, to enable us to bear our crosses with patience. And our Father in heaven will certainly hear when we pray and will certainly grant that prayer. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." May our Father grant that petition for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.